So this time of day, it's quite natural to feel a bit sluggish and sleepy. So hopefully what I'm saying will be interesting enough to keep you engaged, I hope so. But if you're feeling sleepy, just feel free to rub your eyes, rub your face, stretch your body a bit, just to help lift your energy. And I also wanted to mention that Zohar and I offer a space for optional questions and responses at 7 this evening. So you're very welcome to join us then. And our preference would be to do that with questions from the floor rather than in note form. But if you really have a burning question and it feels impossible to ask it in the space of the room, you can leave us a note. Yeah. The nice thing about doing it in person is it helps us connect with you more and respond more precisely, hopefully. Okay, so I'll offer some reflections. So something I've noticed in teaching, we set an intention for a practice, any practice, it tends to do one of two things, or both these things. Tends to start to connect us with the qualities of the teaching, and it reveals the barriers to those qualities. So the quality of compassion arise. I'll just check my sound. Is my sound okay? Yeah, thanks. As Zohar mentioned this morning in the Buddha's teaching, the quality of compassion is said to arise when the quality of metta meets suffering. So when we are able to meet suffering with some degree of heart and non-judgment, openness, allowing, we're touched by the experience of suffering, and the heart moves in compassion. Just in the heart's nature. And what that comes up against is our patterns in relationship to suffering. The habits or tendencies we've developed that have been protective and somehow made sense and enabled us to cope with suffering in the past. So when we turn towards suffering, we meet some of these barriers to opening to it. And we don't want to use any of these practices to, in a way, correct our mind. We want to invite, in a way, whatever happens to be arising is the path. So the barriers, the defences, the contractions are equally valid for our attention. We turn towards them. So I just, as I was contemplating this, three ways of relating to suffering in a way reactive or conditional way occur to me. And these three were, well, I'll just go through them one at a time, is the way we try to control experience towards a particular outcome. It's like so hardwired and so natural in a way, we don't like pain. It's part of our kind of innate mechanism. Babies signal when they feel dysregulated or uncomfortable, and they signal and call for restore comfort. You know, I want to feel at ease. Well, baby doesn't think that, but that's the movement. So we have that with physical discomfort, we have that with emotional discomfort. The initial response is, I don't like pain. So it's very counterintuitive to turn towards pain with awareness. And we can even find ourselves using our practices to this same end. We may not think it, but we may have the implicit attitude, I'll turn towards this, I'll bring presence to it, I'll be receptive to it, as long as it goes away. Yeah? And the way when we have what we term to be a good meditation. What's a good meditation? It is when we feel at ease, isn't it? So we reinforce this dynamic the whole time with suffering wrong, not suffering right. All sorts of ways we try to control our experience towards the outcome we believe to be the correct outcome. And as we practice, we see how much the movement that creates suffering in and of itself. Because we can't completely control conditions. And when I say this, I don't mean that when I'm going to actually talk about overwhelm in a minute. So I don't mean then we just have to face in to all the discomfort. But it's much more about that simile I gave at the beginning of the retreat about the salt in the water. It's how do we allow our vessel, our window of tolerance, if you like, how do we explore that? How do we question the assumptions we make about that? Because if we don't and we keep following this habit of trying to control our experience, our capacity gets smaller and smaller. One of my teachers, Sergeant Sachito, gave this lovely metaphor for trying to control our experience. He said it's like being the captain of a big ship. And if you know that part of our mind that is a running commentary on what we're doing? Do you know that? I sometimes call it the racing commentator. Sometimes it's going faster, sometimes it's going slower. It's sort of saying, okay, this horse is here, that horse is there. If I do that, that will happen. This is what I need to do now in the dining hall. Or not sure, but you know. So it's, whatever we're doing, it's telling us what we're doing, why we're doing it. Maybe subliminally, maybe not. In a commentator. So anyway, this metaphor, the captain of the ship. And they are at the wheel and trying to control experience towards a particular outcome. I'm going over there. left a bit, right a bit. And we can see how we do this in meditation. We're trying to look for that sweet spot, you know, just a little bit over there, a bit more over there. And then he said, you suddenly realise that the axle that connects to the keel, that connects to the rudder, isn't connected. So you think you're steering the ship. But one thing I'll talk more about tonight is we create this sense of agency that we're doing it. The me that's doing it, or the me that gets it right or wrong. And we're constantly judging and comparing this me who gets it right or wrong. I did it or I didn't do it. It can actually be really compassionate to recognise this is not something we have to fix or get rid of. We just see it and recognise it. It'll keep popping up until it doesn't. We don't have to make it stop, but we more and more recognise this movement in our mind that assumes agency. And when we see it, we see more and more just cause and effect. Cause and effect. So, for instance, just the flow of the rhythm of a retreat, at least different for each of us, but generally what can happen is the first day is rough-ish. You know, the sense I have is like at least the first day, actually, the accumulative effect of our lives and how much we've been holding. And we stop and we don't have any distraction from that accumulative effect. We just feel it. We feel the impact on our bodies, our hearts, our minds. And that first day can be quite a lot of discomfort from that. You know, just like when we're going into the sea, going through the surf, you know, the roughness of the waves. And then we may not recognise immediately what effect it's had, but somehow, just to the degree we've been able to bear with that, bring some patience, hang in there, something starts to feel beyond that surf turbulence and feel a little bit more ease, hopefully. It depends what we've been with and what we're carrying. There's this lovely simile in the suttas where the Buddha gives an image for this. He says it's like there's a wood person who's in their 70s, has been working as a wood person their whole life in the forest, and they have an axe they've used their whole life. And this axe has an indentation in the handle for all the times they laid their thumb in that place. You couldn't say which particular moment of laying the thumb created the indentation. But you can see there's been an effect. So all those, in a way, hidden moments of patience, coming back to ourselves, a moment of a little bit of grounding, each moment of connection has an accumulative effect. So we start to see that it's not us doing it, but in a way, these qualities in and of themselves starting to build their own momentum. It's like our habits build momentum, and these qualities, they also build momentum. Momentum that increases our vessel to explore our window of tolerance, so that we don't automatically have to... Is this still working? Yeah. Automatically have to follow those urges of our preferences. Or we have moments where it's possible not to. Because these qualities of love, of the friendliness, the compassion, the appreciation, the equanimity, they don't have to depend on circumstances being pleasant. The ultimate example for me of this is the Dalai Lama. Has been through extraordinary, extraordinary suffering. But he is such an exemplar of these qualities. He just walks into, I've had the good fortune of a few times going to see the Dalai Lama. And he just walks into the room and the whole room changes. So powerful. So the way we can habitually respond to suffering is to avoid it. One of the ways we try to control. There's a kind of intelligence in our protective mechanisms. Sometimes we avoid to just pace ourselves, you know, in relationship to overwhelm. I contemplate this with the news. My consumption of the news. So what I noticed was if I avoided that wasn't satisfactory. But if I went too far into it, I tended at a certain point to feel overwhelmed. And so now what I do when I'm taking in the suffering of the world is I try to stay attuned, to stay with it, so that I actually stay in touch with myself as I'm with it and the response to it. When I feel I'm disconnecting, then I stop reading. So on some level, our heart can move to shutting off to protect from the pain. But the issue in a way with that is we can notice that we can't selectively numb. If we shut certain things out, we have a heart that's sort of unavailable, slightly shut down, and it shuts us down to the beauty as well as the pain. One of the things you might notice in coming on retreat is there's this quality where you actually feel a little bit more alive. You come back to your, in a way, the vibrancy of life. You suddenly notice the flowers or the touched by the beauty of the nature. It's like us. We get a bit desensitized and we wake up again. We come back into touch. You know, our compassion, we cut off from our heart, remove our connection from our heart to any degree. We cut off from our compassion. And compassion is essential to assimilating and digesting and metabolizing our pain. So we're used to the sense of compassion being, in a way, a bit like a salve, takes the pain away. And that's valid, the response of compassion. But compassion can also help be that way we explore allowing our pain in to our heart, to be held in our heart. And that gesture of response is the our pain, our patterns of pain or suffering tend to keep returning until they are met in the way they are require. You really need to do it, sometimes a lifetime sort of journey to discover how to allow our pain without getting overwhelmed by it, and how to back up is very important, and how to find the ground of connection with it. So this afternoon I'm just going to suggest really simple contemplations for practice. I just invite you to contemplate what, so this in terms of this phrase, metta, when metta meets suffering, compassion arises. I just invite you to contemplate what is, the word metta means friend, what is friendliness? What is this quality that meets pain? And what is compassion? So for me, friendliness is when I feel included, respected, received, trust, safety. And compassion, empathy, tuned to, sensitive to, deep listening. So find your own sense of these two areas. What is friendliness? So not maybe just use the words and then invite, see what effect they have on you, these contemplations. Not obviously thinking, just saying the thoughts, but just inviting connection through the words. So I'll say one more thing in relation to the walking practice when we move into that. But maybe we can just sit for a moment, a few minutes, and then I'll do some movement contemplation with you. Thank you.
this afternoon, I would like to guide you with a bit more tapping exercises. So these are, might seem quite subtle, but they have a sort of regulating effect and clearing effect, and they're tapping the endpoints of energy meridians. So I just invite you to stand with your feet shoulder apart, just flat to your knees. And just take your index fingers and tap the inner end of your eyebrow, just gently. And as I said before, these are completely optional, so just sense what's right for you, the body work. Now tap your the outer corner of your eye sockets, your temples. And then around in following the line of your ears, just tapping around behind both ears a few times. That relax. And now the centre of your cheekbones. And underneath your nose. And the centre of your chin. And then these two points under the collarbones that we did the other day. Make a sort of bird's beak with your two fingers and your thumb. Just tap. And now in the centre of your sternum, you see that? Again, just feel the pressure, maybe lighter is better, what feels right for you. Okay, letting that go, and the next two points, if you go to the top of your ribs, you can find the top of your ribs onto your breast, and then just come down between the second rib and the third rib, you can find that, I'm somewhere between those ribs, and feel for a tender spot. Just explore around your rib cage for where it feels a little bit more tender when you put the pressure there. And massage, gently massage these points. Just relax your arms and just tap the side of your thighs. Okay, let me just pause for a moment. Massaging your head.
And really, especially behind the ears. Okay, just massaging your face in whatever way feels good for you. When you're ready, just letting that go. And just let your head hang forwards, and you're at the weight of your head, just give a stretch to the back of your neck. Just feeling the weight. Gently bring your head up. And allow it to go back. And feel the opening of your throat just as far as is okay for you. Relax your jaw. Okay, coming back. And if you just gaze over your left shoulder and just allow your shoulders to fall and just do a twist with your spine, looking behind you. Just linger there. And allow letting go. And again, starting with your head, gazing over your right shoulder, just allow your body to follow, shoulders and looking behind, your spine twist. And let it go. And just let your knees bounce. And just let your arms swing with a bounce. Meditation can sometimes be frustrating, valuable to let it out. Okay, gently slow down. And just taking your left hand and just tap your right shoulder. And down the outside of your right arm and up the inside of your thumb. And then just sweeping down the energy, waking up that arm. And let it just gently shake out a little bit. Oh, yeah. And when you're ready, you can do the other shoulder. And down the arm. Yes. And just sweeping. Do both arms, sweeping.
just shaking the water off your fingertips. Shaking. Okay. Oh, and then that neck gently comes to stillness. And just bringing your hands to the top of your head. And sweep your hands over your top of your head, over the back of your head. Come down to your shoulders. And gently down in front of your body. And down your legs, connecting to the ground. And then touching the back of your legs, coming up the back, your buttocks and your swallow your back, as far as you can reach. And just coming around under your armpits and down the side. And then sweeping out from your feet and coming up. So we'll, next movement is called Connecting Heaven and Earth. And for this, just as the initial movement, a bit optimistic, but as you can slightly jiggle where you are, to be able to do this, yeah, wow, that's good. Okay, so again, inviting your feet to be shoulder width apart and your knees slightly bent, and just rest your hands on the front of your thighs. Imagine the energy from your hands entering your thighs and conduiting to the earth. And opening out your palms, bring your hands up in a wide circle to meet above your head, to palms together. And breathing out, just let your hands come to your heart. And breathing in, with your left hand, push up the sky, and with your right hand, push down the earth, extending. And returning to your heart. And on the other side, pushing up the right knee, spread your fingers and looking up, and hands at the right angle as possible. And return. So continue with this movement at your own pace. Connecting heaven and earth.
when you return the next time, just pause at your heart. And if it's okay for you physically, let your upper body just hang down. Just relax the whole upper body hang there. Gently bring yourself up. If you feel dizzy, take yourself to the floor sitting. So just to close, we'll stand for a moment, and if it feels right for you, okay for you, you'd like to place one hand on your chest and one hand on your belly. It's our belly that underpins our heart. Supports our heart. I just invite you to take this quality of your heart, your body, your mind, as you move from here out or wherever you're going into the movement practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.